The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. Welcome. 8 o'clock hour. Come on in. It's the Thursday show, 10th day of March 2022. Glad you are here. Always plenty of Ukraine news. Always things going on in state politics. A lot of things having to do with the attorney general, the governor, trans stories, election stories, blah, blah, blah. In about 30 seconds, Attorney General Ken Paxton's going to join us. He's at the airport getting ready to get out of the border. 1 hour from now, my buddy Tom Giovanetti joins us for a full in-studio multi-topic hour, grooming Tom to the room to get him to fill in next Monday and Friday, Paul Gleiser and the weeks in between. So working towards spring break, and there's no shortage of stuff going on in the news. Attorney General Ken Paxton joins us. So where border bound are you? Where are you headed today?
So I am on my way to McAllen to meet the governor. He asked me to come down. They're celebrating or noting the 1 year anniversary of the Lone Star Project, which was designed to do things like start building the wall from the Texas standpoint and putting more resources behind our efforts to stop illegal immigration.
So with 11 weeks of runoff until you take on George P. again, the over-under on how many times will you go to the border? I'm going to go with about 25.
You know, I don't think it'll be that many, but I mean, this is invitation. I mean,
and listen, you're going to run into George P. half of those, you know, in a Jeep wearing sunglasses. There's a lot going on there, man. And before we get to any of the stuff making news right now, we were talking about 6 weeks versus 11 weeks, et cetera, and we were slicing and dicing what you perceive some of the numbers to be. You think the majority of the Louie Gohmert vote goes to you, roughly half or so of the Eva Guzman vote comes to you, and this gives you what seems to me as what appears to be a certain level of confidence about May 24th.
Yeah, I think it's looking good for me. I mean, we've obviously done our polling and it looks good. We got 43% to his 22. It's almost double. And both of our names are pretty well known in Texas. And, you know, it's just very likely that the Louie Gohmert voters are coming my way. And it looks like a good percentage, if not half or more, of the Eva Guzman votes will come my way.
In our first interview right after the runoff, you do have famous names, and you're going to use his against him. The quote that still stays with me, and this is the one that made a lot of viral comments, is that we have the opportunity in the runoff to bring the Bush dynasty to an end.
Yeah, I did say that, and I think it's time. They've had decades, if not generations, of leadership, and at this point, I think it's time for a change.
Well, let's go to some stuff making the news right now. Just these last couple of days, the State Bar Association is what are they doing? Are they suing you? What kind of and it's all for the unpardonable offense of you finding fault with the 2020 election result.
Yeah, for filing a lawsuit, which I'm a constitutional officer of the people. I'm elected by the people. So for a delegation that's appointed by the Supreme Court out of the and in the state bar that's completely unrelated to my office to be able to tell me what lawsuits filed, one is unconstitutional. Second, their own rules say that they can't file any kind of complaint against me unless the out-of-state court that I filed in filed a complaint against me. So they're completely ignoring those rules. Of course, these are all Democrats. They're all Biden supporters. And they're doing this all over the country to try to stop people like me from doing our jobs.
Is this how much of this is backwards glancing bad blood for you daring to challenge the 2020 result, and how much of it is forward thinking bad blood at the things Texas is doing to improve voter security?
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, they can change voter security, and they're doing it in all kinds of different ways. And we fought it on all kinds of level, whether it's lawsuits against individuals for voter fraud, whether it was lawsuits they were trying to change our mail-in ballot rules, or whether it was this U.S. Supreme Court case that we filed. We're trying to battle to keep our state protected from voter fraud. And if they can loosen those rules and make it easier to cheat, then it changes the dynamics of the election in a way that I think is bad.
Attorney General Ken Paxton is with us, and we have there's always, you know, constant news on the fight to protect our kids from transgender activism. And as long as we don't have it firmly on the books as a law, and more on that in a moment, we do what we can. The governor is identifying this in various letters to the Department of Family and Protective Services as child abuse when you try to turn your little boy into a little girl. The Attorney General, you, just a few days ago, had an opinion to the effect that that is indeed child abuse in the eyes of Texas law. So what did an appeals court do yesterday in terms of blocking the state's ability to look into households where this is happening?
Yeah, so they basically put a stay on the ability of the state of Texas to look into these issues, which we believe, again, the court, it's an Austin-based court, a more liberal, you know, version of a judge. And so we're definitely going to appeal that and take it to the Texas Supreme Court. I have no doubt that the governor has the authority to do what he's doing, protect children.
Yeah, I mean, nor do I. But there's, you know, that's my belief. I think his instincts are right. I think your opinion is right. But, you know, here I come again, you know, with the drumbeat. There's no substitute for a law on the books. Wouldn't his life be easier and your life be easier if our legislature actually made this illegal using words in the English language to that effect and passed a law about that now?
There's no doubt that they could make this easier, that they could make this stronger, that they could make this more protective of children in Texas. And it's really on them to do it. So, you know, they try to often pass the buck over to me and act like I don't control what the law is. My job is to interpret what the law is and tell people, here's what we think the law is today. And we might not even like it. It is just what it is. So the opinion that we came out with wasn't what I hoped the law to be. It was what the law is now based on what the legislature's already passed.
Yeah. And if you're about to get on a plane, go down to the border. And from now moving forward, I will crawl on broken glass to make sure that Governor Abbott beats Beto. But if you got 5 minutes with him, maybe you know, can you tell him to call a special session to make your life easier and make a whole lot of people feel better about this? Because the legislature, you were in the legislature. Don't you believe the legislature would pass this easily?
If you get this to the floor of the Texas House, the Texas Senate, it passes. No, the challenge is you got people behind the scenes trying to keep us from getting a vote, and that happened last session.
Yep, it passed the Senate, but it did not pass the House. We have a speaker problem in Dade Phelan, and I love the governor, but doggone it, he needs to develop the heart to do this. I'm not going to beat you to death about him. I'll lovingly chat with him if he ever comes back on the show. All right, so about the trans things, there's a story. There is a family, and I don't think it's this same family. I don't know if it is. There was a family that, like, reached out to you at some point and showing grace and a heart for service. You agreed to meet them. When did that happen?
This was several years ago. I don't remember what year. Angela and I were asked to go to dinner with them. And so we actually went to their house in, I believe it was Denton area, and, you know, had a nice dinner with their family.
Yeah. And by the way, I want more of that. That's exactly the kind of thing I want to do. When there are policies that somebody disagrees with, to reach out, to have a human connection makes all the sense in the world. That having been said, they've said their motivation for inviting you was that it wouldn't be as easy for you to hate them from close range. And I know you've seen that quote, and there's no hatred of anybody. And pardon me for not knowing in which direction it follows. Did they have a boy who thinks he's a girl or a girl who thinks she's a boy?
If I remember correctly, it's a boy. A girl that thinks he's a girl. There's no hate. My job is to say what the law is. And so it's ridiculous to say that meeting with anybody is going to change my view of what the law is. I have to say what the law is, no matter what it is, no matter how much I like or dislike anybody.
Do you feel and I know this was years ago, but in hindsight, do you feel like maybe they were trying to bait you?
I don't know. I try not to assume the worst about people. I just try to go and, you know, get to know them and, you know, have a good conversation. We had a great meal, and I thought it was a productive meeting, but it doesn't, just like for them, they have their belief system. They're operating under that belief system. my belief system isn't what controls here. It is what is Texas law. That's what controls.
You bet. And by the way, and there was an attorney in some of the journalism about this very case last night. They went to an attorney out of Austin who said it's terrible for the state to be knocking on doors and prodding into Texas families and et cetera, et cetera. And listen, until we have a law on the books, that attorney may have a leg to stand on. I mean, let me ask you. I mean, you've expressed confidence that your side and the governor's side will prevail. I pray that it does. Without a law on the books, don't the attorneys fighting for these trans kids' families, no such thing as a trans kid, isn't it easier for them to push back without an actual law on the books?
Certainly, I think the legislature needs to do more, and they could do more if they wanted to, and it would make my job easier and make the governor's job easier. I really would encourage them to go forward.
They can't gather on their own at a Stuckey's. Governor has to call them in a special session, and I hope he will. Well, I think they're about to board your plane. I am so glad to have you. Best to the governor. Please give him our love. Tell him we'd love to have him on the show. And congrats on the border and Operation Lone Star and all that good stuff. And I know we'll be talking to you and George P. aplenty in the coming weeks, and it's going to be a big, fun 11 weeks, and we appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. Have a great day.
That is Attorney General Ken Paxton about to hop on the plane and go to the border. How many times will he and George P. run into each other on the border between now and May 24th? Good gosh, why does it take that long? All right. It's okay. Okay. Breathe. It would make the governor's job easier. Really? Well, how about if the governor makes his own job easier and calls the legislature into special session and says, hey, guys, pass this law. Stop making me write letters to the Department of Family and Protective Services and have them write letters back to me. Stop making Attorney General Paxton come out with all these non-binding opinions that are good and right and principled, but the key word there is non-binding. Let's have something that's binding. You know what's binding? An actual law. Let's call the legislature in and make them pass this law, or at least make them vote. Let us make House Speaker Dade Phelan bring this to the floor. And if he doesn't, let him be judged by that. And if it gets to the floor, Democrats may vote against it. I absolutely swear to you that some Democrats will vote for it. And any Republican that's not on the right side of this, any Republican that is not on the right side of this, let's see what the political marketplace does to them. Let's see what happens to them. It is a time to choose. It is a time for accountability. And I mentioned to Attorney General Paxton that there was this Austin attorney who's representing a lot of the families with the so-called trans kids. He will indeed join us 8:35, correct? I'm so glad. I really appreciate that. And so the attorney on the other side of this will join us at 8:35. So plan your morning accordingly. It's 8:22. Well, all right. This is going to be interesting. Coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes. And I am always really, really grateful when people agree to come on the show. I have no idea if Mr. Pittman knows what's coming. I'll tell you what's coming. A thoroughly respectful and civil conversation between me and an attorney who is representing a number of these families with gender dysphoric children who are characterizing the state of Texas as some Third Reich enterprise for daring to go to bat for kids who are having their gender identity obliterated. So that's the attorney joining us 8:35. And I'm very grateful. He doesn't have to come on the show. And he is, and I'm grateful. We'll see how that goes. Let's see how this goes right now. All kinds of topics in the breeze. We're in Dallas. Dan, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, good.
So listen, I've kind of been listening to your thoughts on whether or not it's worth intervening militarily in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And just so I'm not speaking for you, am I correct that it would be different if they're invading Poland because of the NATO alliance?
We'd be obligated then because the NATO doctrine is an attack on one, is an attack on all. Correct.
Okay, so I kind of had a grim thought about that. Doesn't that, since it's worth risking World War III over Poland, does that kind of make NATO like a suicide bomb vest?
Yeah, I think that's probably a bit of a reckless metaphor. The NATO alliance is designed to thwart such aggression and for decades and decades has succeeded.
Right, but I mean, let's say theoretically that that Putin did invade Poland, mm-hmm. and kind of basically called the bluff NATO's alliance. Mm-hmm. Does that make it worthwhile for us to risk World War III over Poland just because of the alliance?
Yes. Because that's what alliances are. That's what allies do. That's what NATO means. And if that happens, and I'm right now, no reason to believe that's in the offing, but all kinds of things can happen. But right now, if Russia breaches into Poland, it is they who will have started the war.
That's true. I mean, I'm just kind of thinking in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, whether or not, I mean, I get that it'd be their fault,
yeah.
but...
I know. I can feel you coming through the phone line. It's like, okay, that would be bad. NATO means something. We should, but what? I mean, so what happens then? It's a NATO ally. We don't let them do that. So what are we going to do? And what happens then? Those are matters of great concern. You're absolutely right to have them, you know, rolling around in your head because the stakes are incredibly high. We've been brought to the brink of all this. By Putin's madness, and by madness, I don't mean mad crazy. Dan, thank you. In fact, I'm done saying he's crazy. I have no idea. I can't diagnose somebody. Can't put him on the couch. Judge Jeanine actually had a I'm sorry, I don't mean to make that sound surprising. Judge Jeanine had a pretty great take on this. This is not craziness. This is evil. Crazy is an excuse. All righty, 8:31 into the newsroom. We go. Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin. Thirty-seven on this Thursday, 10th day of March 2022. Coming up next hour, an in-studio version of one of my favorite telephone segments, the multi-topic wheel, with our friend Tom Giovanetti at the Institute for Policy Innovation. Usually it's a nice fat segment on the phone. Tom's going to be with us in studio for a full hour. Lord only knows what we'll cover for that. But part of it is just the inherent good times of doing that. But also because it's to sort of teach Tom the room because he's going to be filling in next week, Monday and Friday. And so that's going to be great, too. And so is this. We're very, very grateful to attorney Ian Pittman, who has just taken a call just on the fly from Rhonda because I was watching all the news stories and the overnight stuff on the tug of war. What can and should the state of Texas be able to do with so-called trans kids and families who feel very aggrieved that the state is like taking a look at this up against a voter base for Paxton and Abbott and who think this is exactly the right thing to do. So the attorney general was just on. Ian Pittman works for a law firm, is obviously a partner in it. Part of it is his name that is like fielding a bunch of phone calls from these families who want to fight this fight. And he is with us and we're very grateful. Mr. Pittman, thanks for being on. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Mark.
So I think you've been on a lot of media, but I saw you last night on Channel 11 in DFW, and your testimony was that your phone's ringing. I mean, there are more than a few families who are not thrilled that it feels like the state is taking a lot of notice of what's going on in their households. How do you find yourself as sort of the lightning rod for this and, you know, taking all these calls? How do they find you?
Well, I will say first, not thrilled is really damning with faint praise. They are terrorized. That is the common thread for all of these families who contact me. But the way they find me is I have been an attorney for 13 years. In that time, we have always made it a priority to protect all families in Texas, but specifically families who the parents or the children are members of the LGBT community, because there are a lot of sort of deserts in the state of Texas where there are no attorneys who will help these sorts of people. So we are willing to go anywhere from DFW to the Valley to El Paso to Beaumont up to the Panhandle to help families protect their family.
And you know what? Good for you. Because in terms of the deserts you described, there should always be legal representation available for people who want to make any point on any side in a court battle. So, use the language that you used in the Channel 11 piece last night. The families feel terrorized because the state seeks to identify turning a little boy into a little girl as child abuse. Why?
Well, the language you use is, first of all, not accurate. No one is turning any boy into a girl or any girl into a boy.
Really?
That is rhetoric that is not supported by by facts.
Then what are they doing?
Families are going and seeking medical treatment for a diagnosed medical condition in consultation with therapists, in consultation with pediatricians, in consultations with medical professionals who independently verify after months and years of observation and tests and other things that there is a diagnosed medical condition and are following treatment guidelines from people who know each individual patient and know what is well and good for each individual patient.
Well, it's interesting because I think we may have possible agreement that it is not possible to turn a boy into a girl. That's simply not possible. If that's your point, I scientifically agree with you on that. But if you have a biologically born boy and the boy has feelings that he's like in the wrong body and the parents go all in for that, then pumping him full of hormones and giving him a girl's name and putting girl's clothes on him, you would not call that, quote unquote, turning him into a girl for all practical purposes?
No, I would not call that turning that child into a girl.
Then what would you call? What would you call it? What is it then?
That is the term is gender affirming care, and gender and biological sex are different things. And if you know you want to go into that, I'm happy to go into that. But I want to be clear that the sex assigned at birth is not the same thing as gender, and that's a very baseline fact. If we were in a court, I know we're not, we're on talk show, but we're in a court, that is something that I think even Attorney General Paxton would stipulate to, that sex assigned at birth is not the same thing as gender.
I think that's true in the dictionary. And the language is vital. Both my profession and yours know that. The notion that if you have a boy who doesn't feel like the sex of his birth, but feels like the opposite sex, that to go with that is somehow gender affirming. That's a little provocative, isn't it? Because isn't that a deviation from what the birth certificate says? So how is that gender affirming to go with the sex other than what you were born?
Well, there's a lot of people who are assigned the wrong sex at gender. There are intersex people in the state of Texas who are born with both physical characteristics of male and female, and oftentimes parents or physicians choose for that child which one they think is more
that's true.
Appropriate.
But nobody's talking about that. You're totally right about that. That is not hardly any of these cases. You bet there are medical conditions about that, but there's nothing physiologically about this. This is all psychological,
I would disagree with that it's all mental and it's not physiological. I am not a scientist. Mm-hmm. I am not a pediatrician. I am not a physician, but I am an attorney who has helped numerous families over the last decade plus who have dealt with this situation. The literature and the studies show that it absolutely is physiological. It has to do with the amount of testosterone or estrogen that is provided by the mother in utero and how that helps the brain develop or not develop. So absolutely there is a physical.
So I think there can be, I think there can be, but so would you say, I don't know how many cases you have or may yet have, but in every case of a girl who thinks she's a boy or a boy who thinks he's a girl, that's not just psychological. It's not just from the world. It's not just environmental. It's not just grooming from some corner of society. There is something hormonal going on in every single one of those kids.
Well, the term grooming is a very offensive term, mm-hmm. And that is absolutely not going on. What is going on is that a child is being diagnosed with something called gender dysphoria.
Right.
Dysphoria is a incongruence with how the world sees you and how you perceive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it can have extremely negative impacts if it's not appropriately and medically treated, up to including self-harm, including suicide, up to and including use of illicit drugs, engaging in illicit or unsafe sexual practices when they become sexually mature. It is something that I would think every parent would want to do anything they can to keep their child from taking his or her own life.
Or no doubt.
A drug addict.
But that's a bit of emotional blackmail that we must go with the gender dysphoria. Elsewise, we are somehow recklessly inviting some self-harm. There is no part of the definition of gender dysphoria, no part that requires a hormonal component. Gender dysphoria is a psychiatric issue defined as such. So why are the people, and there's a disagreement about this. I stipulate there's a disagreement about this. What is it that makes a parent who has and boy, this notion of grooming, it's happening every day. People cheerleading for this, or you know this happens. Maybe not in any case you're handling, but in the culture at large, if you've got a little boy who thinks he's a little girl, man, let's have us a party because we just got another trans kid. There are people rooting for that every day. You know this.
I do not know that because that
now you do now.
Is not accurate.
You do now. You do now. I mean,
you saying something as a fact does not make it a fact.
No, but I will leave you. I'll leave you simply to read and take a look at the degree to which. I mean, let's take just as a hypothetical. Let's say that today, right now, listening, there is a girl who really, in her heart, at the age of 9 or 10, says, "Man, I don't think I'm just a tomboy. I think I am an actual boy." And that parent says, let us kneel in prayer. Let us get you counseling that seeks to retrieve for you gender clarity of your birth. Would you have a dim view of that parent?
As long as the parents were taking what they learn from the physicians, from the therapist, from whoever it is, and acting on it appropriately, no. I mean, if I understand your question correctly, mm-hmm. is that if a parent kneels in prayer and then acting on their faith, acting on their conviction, takes their child to a medical professional mm-hmm. who has the training and expertise, and the medical professional says, you know what, this child has gender dysphoria, if they decide to follow that advice, I have no problem with that. If they decide not to follow that advice, I personally have a problem with that, but I don't have a legal problem with that. The state shouldn't be telling parents who be gender affirming or not. I can tell parents what I think, but the state of Texas should not be telling parents what they think they should do. And it's not going to stop here is the problem. You know, today it is the attorney general and the governor of Texas who are saying this. Tomorrow it could be a different attorney general and a different governor who could say something else is now child abuse. They could say, you know what? Not getting your child a vaccine for COVID is child abuse. No matter what you think, no matter what your doctor says, that's child abuse. And that's what's inappropriate.
I think you're right. I think that's you bet this should not be something thrown around willy-nilly. And your answer right there was actually very, very good. And I appreciate the latitude that you would give to a parent who might differ with you politically and socially on this. I do sense, and tell me if I'm wrong, that if there are two households and in one household, the little boy thinks he's a little girl, and the parents mobilize to try to retrieve gender normalcy for that child, that you don't have as high an opinion of that household as you do the household that says, great, let's go buy dresses.
Well, I don't have all the facts, but in this hypothetical, I would not choose to represent that person.
Okay. That's my choice. That's a good distinction. So we live in this netherworld here where you got attorney general's opinions that are non-binding. That's what kind of gives you the room to do what you're doing. And these letters between the governor and the Department of Family and Protective Services. If the legislature were to actually outlaw these gender changing procedures, which I pray for them to do, which I want and you don't, let's stipulate that. Would that then, I mean, it would make life harder for the advocacy that you're involved in, but is it the absence of such a law that gives you an open season for the kind of actions you're taking with these families?
Well, let me say, the way you characterize it, I don't agree with, but you did hit the nail on the head. There is no law no law passed by the legislature, despite several attempts over the last 3 or 4 sessions to pass laws to change the definition of child abuse to include things like social transitioning or puberty blockers or
chemical castration, top surgery, the whole menu.
Well, chemical castration is not is a red herring. It is not something that is medically or accurate or happens.
It is the induction of drugs and hormones into a boy to negate his hormonal maleness. That better?
It is not the law in Texas. It is not the law in Texas that constitutes child abuse.
It should.
That change,
right. Mm-hmm.
And reasonable people can have different definitions about what they think should be, but it is not, mm-hmm. in fact, the law in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Despite several attempts over the past decade to change the law, it has not occurred. And that's the way the legislative process, that's the way our representative democracy works, that people can bring ideas to the government, they can debate them, and decide whether or not to pass them. Those debates have been occurring. They have not been passed. What General Paxton and what Governor Abbott did is, I think, actually what Governor Abbott said on your show last year, is they've decided to game the odds. They've decided to go past the actual correct governmental legislative process and try to, on their own, change the definition. And like I said, today it's changed the definition in a way that, as you mentioned earlier in this segment, wins them votes. But tomorrow, if they don't win this election, or if the political winds change, it could be something else. I mean, look at Rick Perry. He had what I think was a really well-reasoned opinion to say that girls should be required to have an HPV vaccine about a decade and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
That that was a political miscalculation on his part. He was out in front of his skis. The people who voted for him did not like that, and he changed his opinion. But who's not to say that these political winds couldn't change, and all of a sudden something that right now you and I might disagree about, all of a sudden now becomes a definition of child abuse. And that's what I really, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Libertarian. I'm a parent in the state of Texas who's saying this.
Well, this is a liberal Democrat view, and I accept your testimony on that. But the notion that parenthood itself requires one to be open to gender transitioning is false on its face.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth if you think that I said that. I have not said that.
Well, this I am a parent mantle is it is purely my parental concern that guides me. It is a decidedly, and mine is a conservative view, but I also view it as a human parental view as well. But it's a conservative view that this is absolute child abuse. It is a liberal view that it's not. So how about if we both own that?
I will agree with you that has become a political view, but it should not. The same way that whether or not you provide vaccines to your child should not be a political
view. I'm with you. I agree with you there. And you know what? And I kind of agree with you on another thing. I don't believe in what I believe because I'm a conservative. I believe in it because I'm a human being. And I believe in the definitions of gender that God made and that science defines. It's not my conservatism that informs me. So if you say it's not your liberalism that informs you, I'll totally, totally go with that. I am I'm sorry.
Mark, I'm a confirmed Catholic. I am religious.
Oh boy.
I understand, mm-hmm. Limited.
Are you?
Theology. I understand
be careful what?
Are you? There are a lot of definitions in both the Christian precursors that define more than one gender. So to say,
no, there aren't.
I agree
no,
with
there
you.
Aren't. What are you talking about?
Let's make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah,
we understand that Christianity came from Judaism, correct?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. Judaism in the Torah has more than one definition of gender. So the Christian religious text born from the Torah. Come from a line of religious teachings that says that God can make more than one gender.
Wow.
I agree with you that these children are made in God's image.
Yep.
I disagree with you that God has a binary view. Male.
There's no evidence that he does not. And real quick just I'm curious with maybe we do it. I would love to have you back. Are you pro-choice?
That's a tricky question.
No, it's not.
It is a tricky question.
Not a tricky question at all.
If my wife and I were having that discussion, I would do everything in my power not to have an abortion.
Gotcha.
But that is my choice mm-hmm. with my family. It is not my choice for somebody else's family.
Gotcha. All right. So that is pro-choice. So just saying. I can't tell you how grateful I am. I wish every guest was as easily available as you and as willing to do the give and take. I'm very grateful. Ian Pittman, the name of the firm again, sir, is?
It's Jorgensen Pittman LLP, and we're down here in Austin, Texas.
And the website is JP Texas Law. Help me out for people who want to get a hold of you.
It's jptexaslaw.com.
jptexaslaw.com. Very grateful, sir. Thank you for being on the phone and being on the show. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Mark.
You betcha. 8:56, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer. All right, got to scoot. That was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Ian Pittman, attorney for the other side, you could say. And I'm always glad to welcome advocates for things I disagree with on the phones or as guests or whatever. So we might grab a call or two on this in the aftermath. That we'll do it in the company of my buddy Tom Giovanetti. He's about to come in, sit down, and we'll kill a whole hour together because he's going to be filling in next week. And we just enjoy talking to Tom, and we're going to get him hip to the intricacies of this room on 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Stick around.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.